This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the social media and the media who have turned him into a thug, who have labeled him a thug with no evidence whatsoever. This is not a situation where Mr. Jones ever wanted to be a thug or thought of as a thug. But because he's a young black man, all of a sudden he's a thug. That's what's happened here. There's no evidence of that whatsoever, and it's disrespectful to Mr. Jones and everyone else, every other black man in America who's young and black, to be called a thug because he happens to be black in this situation. This is the institutional racism that we deal with every day in the court system. There's no indication whatsoever that he was in any way disrespectful. There's no information at all that he was in any way did anything to say he wanted to be a gang member or a thug. He's a young black man charged with a crime. Therefore, he must want to be a gang member. He must want to be a thug. That label that was attached to him through social media almost got him fired, and it was completely unfounded. Mr. Jones did exactly what anyone else in his situation would have done. He cooperated with the police. He was arrested. He promised to be here. He showed up here this morning. He was polite to the police. He did nothing that would suggest that he was in any way trying to act as a thug or want to be a gang member. That's made up from social media, and that needs to stop. He's a young black man charged with a crime. Happens all the time. Let's just deal with the actual facts. And the facts of this case are that they found two guns in a carry-on bag that they said was his. He had no intention of bringing any guns into that Logan airport that day. He had no intention of bringing any guns onto an airport that day. And I expect that the evidence is going to show that he had no knowledge of what was going on. And we have to address, in this country, the institutional racism that comes with every time a black man gets arrested. That's not what this is. All Mr. Jones wants to do is play football. He doesn't want to be a distraction at all. In this case, we're grateful to the Patriots organization and to the leaders of the Patriots so that they didn't believe and read in and feed into what was happening on social media, where people were saying he was a wannabe thug and he was trying to get the guns past security. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, all right. Rita, what's up, Rita? Welcome to Brother from Another. Good to see you. It is a happy Tuesday. Despite what you heard there, it is a happy Tuesday overall on Brother from Another. It's always good to see you. And I'm happy. I just want to say before we get started, a nice new picture with your feed. I understand that you have been working behind the scenes to get that new picture. You had a photo shoot. It took about 3 or 4 hours. You picked 3 or 4 pictures that you liked. And so you're going to, every time you come on, you're going to have a different, you know, profile pick, so to speak.
That was my good auntie pick. I took some better pictures, but that was my auntie photo that I used for that one.
The good auntie pick. I don't know if you have a good lawyer pick, but Rosemary Scapiccio, she went in. That's who you heard off the top. That is the lawyer for Jack Jones. Jack Jones needs a lawyer because last week, at Logan Airport, going from Boston on his way to Los Angeles, he was stopped at the airport. Allegedly, he had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff with him. As his lawyer pointed out, hey, black man in America gets arrested. It happens all the time. Hey, Rosemary, we know.
Right,
we know.
Hey, listen,
you ain't said nothing but a word. Okay, we know that. Okay, Rosemary. But this is a situation where there's a lot for Jack Jones. Look at these charges. Gun-related charges. Lots of them. Bringing in a Glock. Bringing in a loaded weapon. large capacity, like on and on. I mean, there were so many things. One firearm is not registered. There are a lot of things that he has to deal with. And a couple of those charges, Rita, a couple of them have 2.5 year, if convicted, they have 2.5 year minimum jail sentences, minimum. Yeah. And another one, and the other two have 18 month minimum jail sentences.
Yeah.
Prison. So there are many charges. And I guess we got to unpack it this way. Clearly, I don't have to tell you and you don't have to tell me that we know that institutional racism is a part of the American fabric, is a part of America's DNA. Whether some people don't believe that, we know it. Now, you don't have to believe it. Some people have theories on it. Your lived experience, my lived experience, and just our common sense, Rita, tells us different. So we know. Got it.
Yeah.
And we know that the justice system does not see all of us the same way and has not treated all of us the same way. That's a fact. So the lawyer wants to stay on the facts. I want to stay on the facts, too. And I also want to point out that she has, I want to just give some love to her context. Her context is, I don't know if people realize, she's a Netflix famous lawyer. There's a Netflix documentary called Trial 4, and it tells the story of a Boston young man, the name of Sean Ellis, who spent nearly 22 years of his life, starting when he was 19 years old, spent nearly 22 years of his life in prison, wrongfully accused of murdering a state police officer. 22 years. His attorney was Rosemary Scapicchio. And we know that there are many examples of this. Well, as a matter of fact, I think we talked about this guy on the show once named Ron Sullivan, attorney named Ron Sullivan. He did a TED Talk years ago because he has done the work of looking at some of these wrongful convictions and getting them overturned. And his whole point of his TED Talk was, hey, do some justice today. He said, don't just wait around for somebody to do it. You got to go ahead and do the work. And he pointed out in his TED Talk, when one person was convicted, if somebody had just done a little extra step, done the extra work, there's a man who wouldn't have spent years and years in prison. Yeah. So it's up to all of us to do that extra work. So I got it. And so Rosemary Scapicchio has been a part of that. Yeah. In this case, though, Rita, I feel like she's talking about social media more than she's talking about the facts that we know. Mm-hmm. The facts that we know is that Jack Jones wound up at the airport with some loaded weapons. And now he's going to have to deal with that. Like all this other stuff of all this other energy of, hey, we know black folks are not thugs. I know. I ain't calling him a thug. I'm not a thug. I know.
So,
but what I don't know, Rita, what I don't know, you take it from here. What I don't know is why the hell he go to the airport with a bag of weapons. That's what I want to know.
Exactly. So this is multi-layered, right? Like first things first, that lady's haircut tells me she's not to be played with. So he picked the right person to represent him because she's not going to play around. Okay, she's about her business. And the one thing that she did that, you know, a good lawyer would do is create a press conference and and try to create a public perception for their client. And which she did in saying that the media and social media is labeling this young man. Clearly, he has a Second Amendment right like everybody else. And so I do think that there's different labels between when white people have weapons versus when black people have weapons. This is not the first time somebody has gone to the airport with weapons. It's actually happened a whole lot since COVID. So that's been a thing, but we don't hear people, well, first of all, we don't hear people of these calibers being caught with those types of weapons, but ultimately we don't hear white people being labeled as being thugs because, oh, they forgot to you know, take out their guns when they went to the airport. So there's that part of it. There is a systemic part of it that we do have to address, that people are going to try to say this man is a thug. That being said, there's rules and regulations here, and that he is no different than anyone else. He has to abide by the same rules that you and I do, Holly, when we go to the airport. And the main thing is you're not supposed to have firearms. So I'm trying to understand what had you in a position where you forgot or you thought you could get away with it. Add to the fact that you potentially or allegedly have some illegal non-registered weapons, that makes it even worse. And so, yes, people unfortunately are going to label you as a thug. They are going to say these things because they want a reason. And unfortunately, you've given it to them by going to the airport with a weapon that is not registered in your name. So, yes, is all of these things that you said about institutionalized racism true? Absolutely. But we also have to have accountability and understanding that things that we do also affect how people view us as well. And that's not fair. Let me be clear. It's not fair because it really is a human thing. The same mistakes that you and I make are the same mistakes that white people can make, or, you know, mm-hmm. Latino people or Asian people. So it really is a humanized thing. The problem is the world doesn't see it that way. And so when you make these types of mistakes, they are already ready to label you. You're now giving them the ammo to do just that. And so now she's trying to change the public perception of her client being a thug and simply saying, oh, he's not a thug, he's not doing that. When really, I mean, he's not, but you can't make those types of mistakes, unfortunately.
That's right. So basically, Rita, what I'm hearing is we shouldn't be, I just want to make sure I get the messaging here. We should not assume that every black person who's arrested is guilty or doing some a part of some kind of gang thuggish life. Okay, that to go with the provocative or pejorative terms. Okay, so we shouldn't do that, and we shouldn't be judgmental, because just because there's an arrest, that doesn't mean we know the real story. So okay. So let me just bring something up here on the screen. Come on, bring it up here, Gary and Natalie. Bring it up. We shouldn't be judgmental because we don't know what people are going through. Just because you get an accusation doesn't mean you actually did something wrong. So, Jack Jones, before this little situation, he had some words for Ja Morant. Okay? Hey. He tried to tell Ja Morant, he said, Ja Morant, you're dumb. I'm going to read the tweet. You letting social media and your pride ruin your real money. Put them guns down, he says to Ja Morant, and run that money up. Make one of your homies sign up for security or concealed carry if you feel like you need it that bad. But you're the breadwinner. You got to start acting like it. So he got all kinds of advice.
Well, look at that.
For Ja Morant. And then he'd go to the airport. Dumb? Dumb. Ooh, that's strong.
Not do it. Not do.
I don't know if I want to be called either. I think I'd rather be called a thug than called dumb.
Call me dumb? Because a thug is a subjective term, right? When people call you dumb, it's subjective as well, but usually there's information that kind of leads to like, yeah, that wasn't that smart of a thing to do. And what Ja Morant did was not that smart of a thing to do, right? However, you can't be going out here giving advice, man, and you out here doing the same thing. Now, do I consider those things to be different? Yes. And I say this, let me say why, Holly, because not that long ago, we saw that players have been getting robbed. And so there's very possible that he wanted to protect himself. It's very possible that whatever city he was going to, he wanted to make sure that he was protected and that he just did not take the proper channels of carrying these things legally, right? And that's the issue. But ultimately, we can't sit here and say what you did was dumb, Ja, and then sit here and say to you, well, why you just didn't go to the website and see how you could be able to carry these weapons without getting in trouble? I mean, you ain't that bright either. Now with all this, you ain't a scholar either, sir. So it's not looking too good in your favor.
Yeah, and you know, look, this is not a gun conversation or gun judgment overall conversation.
Right.
I'm not even going there. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
If you are interested in guns, I know a lot of athletes, probably even more than we talk about, a lot of athletes have licensed firearms.
Yep.
For many reasons. Some for recreational purposes, some because they feel like they have to protect themselves and they're going to do what, even though they're professional athletes and they're rich and they're famous, if you don't think anybody would mess with them, maybe because of that, people will mess with them or more likely to come at them. So they're professional athletes. This is not a new story. It's a news story today, but this is not a new story of professional athletes having guns. But there is a way to go. There is a way to handle that business. And I also want to point out with Jack Jones, it's not like Jack Jones just sitting around minding his own business. He gets arrested at the airport and people start wondering what's going on unfairly. No, there's a history here. He does have a history, and you can't just pop off and say, oh, people are jumping on Jack Jones.
Right.
Jack Jones, I mean, goodness, I don't think anybody was hurt. I don't think anybody was hurt. So excuse my little chuckle at this. Jack Jones robbed a Panda Express. Man, his brother robbed a Panda Express and was on house arrest, Rita, for like 45 days. He was like,
I mean, come on, man.
Come on, Panda Express. Panda Express.
Oh, the Panda Express.
Come on. Panda Express.
Chipotle wasn't open. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Right.
Panda Express, he was kicked out of USC right after being kicked out of USC for academic purposes. 3 weeks later, I think it was 3 weeks later, hit the Panda Express, goes to junior college, goes to Arizona State, suspended at Arizona State, fighting in practice. Drafted by the Patriots. Rookie year, doing well. Suspended his last two games of his rookie year. Misunderstanding. Right after OTAs, or right after mandatory minicamp. Wasn't OTAs. Mandatory minicamp, they tell you when you leave. They do the same thing in Baltimore, that they do in Boston, that they do in New York, that they do in Chicago, everywhere else. Hey, y'all, we're going to have our little break. Our research suggests that this time away from June until late July when training camp starts, that's when things tend to go wrong.
Yep.
Just please keep it together. Please keep it together. All right, don't do anything crazy.
It's hard, right? Go on vacation. Yeah. Well, maybe that's what he was trying to do. I don't know. I don't know. But go on vacation and don't take your weapons with you. I mean, or don't put them in the carry-on with you. I'm confused as to how we've gotten to this point at this point. You know better. You know better. So I'm confused how we're here. And all the mistakes that you've made have not, you're completely unaware of what it is that you're doing. The lack of self-awareness to me, Holly, is amazing. When you bring down and break down his history in terms of how he's gone up into his current NFL career with the Patriots, you know better. Every instance that you have dealt with, you know better. And today is no different. You having a gun, you know better. There are ways to be able to carry these items and do it legally. I am confused as to how that was an oversight on your behalf. So the lack of awareness for you to go after Ja Morant when you yourself have a lot of things that you need to clean up in your house is very hilarious, hypocritical, whatever you want to call it.
Well,
but stop giving out advice and worry about yourself right now.
Well, what we have is Ja Morant now was not charged with the crime. So Ja Morant took accountability for the charge that he was not, for the crime that he was not charged with. Whereas Jack Jones, he says not guilty. We'll find out what the real story is. We will watch this. How do the Patriots respond? Where do we go from here? Lot more. There's a lot more to get to with the Jack Jones story. A lot more to get to on this show. We're going to talk some hoops too. And some more football hoops coming up with Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk. All right, Rita, we rolling.
I know Bill Belichick is unhappy.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
I'm driving in this morning, and we got the ticker tape thing outside of our building.
What is it?
And I see this potential blockbuster deal between you and Bradley Beal that may take you from Phoenix to Washington and vice versa. Mm. I was surprised. What are your first thoughts on that?
I was surprised, too. I found out on the plane yesterday flying here for this. You know, in this league, anything can happen, so you just figure out what's next. Mm.
You literally found out on the plane?
Absolutely.
Wow.
What was your first reaction?
Don't push him any further. He's trying to be nice about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he is, right?
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, that is great stuff, Kurt Heelan. You know, you heard Chris Paul on Good Morning America talking about the trade going from Phoenix to Washington, maybe. We don't know really what's going down, but he is not going to be a Phoenix Sun anymore. And Kurt, I got to tell you, I'm enjoying the multiple stories I've heard about Chris Paul and his analysis of how it went down. First, it was, hey, heard about it on the plane, heard about it from my son. Hey, Matt Ishbia and Isaiah kind of working. Maybe Isaiah told Ishbia. I don't know. He's crushing it, though. He is crushing the storytelling game. Tell me the story here of this trade. We got Brad Beal going to Phoenix and Chris Paul probably going somewhere else. What's just your take on what has happened here?
Yeah, Michael, you better go buy your Chris Paul Wizards jersey like in the next week before it's not... It doesn't exist anymore. The Chris Paul era will be very short, and it will be a shock, frankly, if he's not with the Lakers or Clippers. He will be in Los Angeles, just where he wants to be. It's where his family was. It's part of the reason he was in Phoenix, to be closer to them so he could get home on, you know, off days and stuff. And by the way, I also thoroughly enjoyed that. I was surprised as anybody, except for the fact that literally he had talked to them about looking for a trade with his agent, and everybody had been talking about him being available in a trade for, you know, a week. Sure, it was a total shock that they traded him. He's going to end up, like I said, he'll end up back in L.A. He'll land on his feet somewhere, and he's going to make an old and kind of rickety team a little bit better, but be old and rickety.
Okay. That's so, I mean, you know, a little bit of an upgrade, basically. But for the Suns, right, what does this say about them? They have the top three right now with Kevin Durant and Booker. First of all, I'm confused at who's going to be the true point guard in this situation. And then secondly, they have Vogel as their coach. We all know that he's a great defensive coach. But as of right now, I don't see any great defensive players on this roster. I know that there's free agency coming up, but as of right now, this is a defensive coach really running an offensive team. And I'm just confused as to how this is going to work. So I need some help understanding how that's going to happen.
Do you remember the Lakers a couple years ago after the championship when they traded everybody away and gave Frank Vogel, a defensive coach, an all offensive minded team, and how well that went? That it could be a little too close. Look, they're going to be good. They're going to win a lot of games because they have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And I think Bradley Beal bounces back a little bit. He's a good offensive player. But look, guys, didn't we watch them get bounced from the playoffs like 2 weeks ago for a lack of depth?
Yep.
Like, I mean, 3 weeks ago, and now we're right back there. And the point guard question is legitimate. Like, do you have point guard skills? Because they are seriously looking for somebody who can run an offense for a while.
My biggest concern, guys, I'm sorry, Holly, I apologize. My biggest concern is the bench. They don't have anybody. Yeah. And yes, I'm sure that they're going to look to make that better, but we've seen too many times in this playoffs that, you know, the minutes that Booker and KD have, especially KD in terms of like his injury history, he's in his mid-30s at this point. Beal, I believe, isn't that much of a great in terms of health. So for me, the issue is how are they going to be able to be dominant but also allow their starters to rest, because they don't have anybody to help them out when they need to rest.
Yeah, exactly. Beal plays 90 games over the last 2 years. He has missed a chunk of time because of injuries, and it's a concern. And you're right, this is part of the problem, is they just don't have anybody. It'll get better. And one of the things they can do, one of the things everybody around the league is frankly expecting, as much as they're talking up DeAndre, and Frank Vogel's talking up DeAndre Ayton just in case he's got him, they're going to try to trade him in a 2 or 3 for 1. He's making a little over $30 million next year. Can we get like 3 good players or 2 good rotation players for Ayton? Because that would matter more to them. If they can just get 2 good wing guys, and they'll figure out the center position. They'll throw out some Biombo. They'll show out some Jack Landale. They'll play some small ball. The problem is there's not much of a market because, I mean, would you like to pay DeAndre Ayton $30 million?
I mean, well, maybe. I mean, maybe when the top players are making twice that, you know, it's just you do business as business is being done.
Okay.
I do want to point out that, you know, we had two headlines there. I love that. I'm glad you guys brought them up. One, a Candace Buckner column where she says, hey, the Wizards surrendered. And then a Ben Golliver column where he says they gave him away and it was the right call. Well, I agree with Candace here. Listen, you got a franchise player and he has really not publicly, at least, asked to be traded. And you turn around and trade him and you get a bunch of second round picks and you get a guy who is not even going to be there and Chris Paul. What the hell are you doing? I'm a Wizards fan. You know, theoretically, I'm a Wizards fan. I could never do that. I pay my money. I pay my money. I haven't seen a championship since the 70s. Damn it. Don't just give away the one franchise player we have, and you're going to give me some second rounders in return? So why is this good for Washington? I don't understand why this is good for the franchise.
I would say it's good for the franchise this way. They needed to do this. Frankly, they needed to do this 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Like, they needed to do this when Bradley Beal had real trade value, and more importantly, the real screw up here, and Michael, it's not on Winger and the new front office. It's completely on Ted Leonsis, the owner. The second you gave Beal a no trade clause, you doomed yourself when you tried to trade him, because he controlled the market now. Hey, I'm only waiving it for Phoenix and whatever they can give you. I don't want to go to Miami now. I don't want to go. They might send you 2 first round picks and, you know, better expiring contracts, or maybe Tyler Hero. I don't want to do that. I want to go to Phoenix, and you got to take whatever they give. You lost. Ted Leonsis cost them this trade a year ago when he gave them that no trade clause, but it's still the right thing to do, man. At some point, you just rip off the Band-Aid. They have to move on. They got fleeced, but I'm more in the Ben Golliver situation of, it was a terrible trade, but you got to start the process.
Okay, well, you say you got to move on. I wonder if you feel the same way After you listen to this clip, I want to know where you fall on this, because Draymond Green recently opted out of his contract, final year of his contract with the Warriors, $27.6 million. They got a new general manager, Mike Dunleavy Jr., and Dunleavy gave his take on Draymond. After we hear Dunleavy, I want to hear the real general manager, Kurt Heelan, tell me what this whole thing is
about. I'm not getting that money. I'll take that money.
Here's Mike Dunleavy. Check it out.
You said there aren't that many huge decisions to make, but obviously most of us on the way driving over here heard about Draymond opting out. And one, were you expecting that? And two, I mean, you are getting thrown kind of right into the fire of a pretty critical summer for this team as terms of what it's going to look like in the future. Just, are you prepared for that? And again, were you surprised about Draymond?
Yeah, so I saw the report too. Until we get the paperwork and the filing, we can't really comment or say much. So I will say, I think Steve has said it, and I'll reiterate, we really want Draymond back. What he means to this organization, this team, in terms of trying to win at the highest level, we feel like we have to have him. So that's very important.
I like that from Dunleavy Jr. says, we feel like we have to have him. I thought that was a strong quote, just said very calmly. But if you just print that out, like, ooh, okay, that's a big comment. Do you agree with them, Kurt? Do they have to have him to keep the dynasty going?
Yeah, I do. I like, the funny thing is, going into last season, I was kind of like, I wonder if this is his last year, he's fading a little bit and they're willing to move on. And then we watched this season play out and it became clear that he's still an all defensive league team player. And he is critical to their offense as that secondary passer creator when everybody loads up on Curry, which everybody's going to continue to load up on Curry. You need that guy who moves the ball around, and nobody fits that skill set as well. And so I think they have to bring him back, and that gives Green some leverage. And the question is just going to be money, because can you get him to take a little bit less as you face an ugly tax situation for the security of years? If, hey, I know you just gave up 26.5, we'll give you, I don't know, 75 or 80 over 3 years. So you're really not getting a raise, but you're getting the security of time. I'm curious if that makes Draymond happy or if he wants to be paid commensurate with how he sees it. Well, I'm not sure anybody can pay him commensurate with how he sees himself, but but at a level that that he thinks is fair.
I can see that. And I honestly don't know if I really truly believe that he's going to go anywhere. I believe he does his podcast. I believe he had some really great things to say about Steve Kerr. I mean, clearly, and I know that that's business and personal are not the same, but it really does feel like, you know, he loves being there and it feels just like a business move. However, let's play some hypotheticals. If Draymond were to test the market, where do you guys think he would best be a placed in terms of what he can do still at this point?
Wow. Yeah. What do you think, Kurt? I mean, that's a great question.
Because the problem is, for him, he's not plug and play. This isn't, I don't know, even Bradley Beal or Kevin Durant, where you're like, I can pretty much throw him on any team and he's fine. Like, it is a very specific skill set, right? An elite one, but it's perfect in Golden State. I could argue maybe the Lakers, who need defense and need a guy who could just move the ball and isn't looking to score next to Anthony Davis. Like, I can make that case. There's also like zero way they can actually land him at a reasonable price without like really upsetting the fan base and trading, you know, a sign and trade for Reeves or something that they're not going to do. So I don't know how they get him, but there's not many spots. You're talking about a contending team looking for a defensive four who passed, like, it's hard to fit him in somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know what, Kurt and Rita, it's not just the skill set. It's the fire. It's the personality. Yeah. The reason I do agree with Mike Dunleavy Jr., by the way, I think they do need to have him. Yeah. They have to have Draymond. There's really no one like him. Like, so if you said, not only the question Rita asked, where would he fit? That's a great question. An equally great question is, who will replace him? Yep. The Warriors. There's really nobody. I can't see anybody who somebody could replace maybe the fire, but not because they don't have that credibility. They don't have the history.
Yep.
There are some guys in the league who play similarly, but they are also niche players. Like Marcus Smart, different position. Marcus Smart in Boston, works in Boston, doesn't work anywhere else. P.J. Tucker has got the fire, but doesn't have the skill, doesn't have the ball handling and the rebounding that Draymond has. So, you know, those guys aren't interchangeable. I can't imagine Draymond going to another team, whether it's the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, bringing his skills and then be like, hey, y'all, sit the F down. This is what we may be like, yo.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
got here. You don't know us. Hey, man, this ain't Golden State. We don't do that with you. You don't know us like that. So, I mean, I think it's really a very specific fit there with that team. And which leads me to this, Kurt. How's it going to be now with Jordan Poole? Can Jordan Poole and Draymond come back?
I was just going to say, I was listening to you. I'm like, first off, I think you're exactly right. And B, did you just trade Jordan Poole? Even Draymond said that was an issue for them, that it set them back last year. It threw their chemistry off balance. I don't know about Rita. What do you think? I mean, like, you can't bring him back, right? Like, it's just, I don't think you can pair them together again. And if you're the Warriors trying to get under some, save some money and maybe bring in some other guys, maybe pull somebody you can move where another team looks around and says, you know, he gets in a new environment and we get Jordan Poole of 2 years ago from the playoffs.
Yep. I agree with that. I do think that Draymond has more value to that franchise for obvious reasons than Jordan Poole. So, and then he didn't wow anybody with the way he played this playoffs anyway. So it feels like he's the more expendable player and that Draymond is the one that you just have to keep because, as you guys have already mentioned, he's perfect for what they do and how they run that offense and that defense as well. So I agree with you. I don't know how that continues on.
Can you guys help me out with something? I want to know where you stand and if it's consistent. Like, so, for example, if you say, look, I don't like when guys jump around teams to win championships, then you probably shouldn't be the person saying, well, Dame Lillard should leave Portland to win a championship. And if you're one of those people who jumps on people who don't have championships, then should probably stop saying Dame is great despite his lack of a championship. It's like, he's like, Dame Lillard is the exception to everybody's rule that they say they have. They make an exception for Dame. And this is all with Dame saying the same thing for a decade. I don't want Dame Lillard to leave Portland. Why? Because Dame Lillard keeps saying, I don't want to leave Portland. Why do we keep trying to trade him? He keeps saying, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. All right, we're going to leave you alone, Dame. You are a Portland guy. And if they trade you, you had nothing to do with it. Why don't we listen to him, Kurt and Rita? Every year we want to trade him. Every year he says, I don't want to get traded.
Do we listen to anybody who says they don't want to be traded? I don't care what sport it is. We do,
nope.
We do that. We do that in the NFL, right? We do it all the time.
Literally just did it with Chris Paul. Literally just, Chris Paul didn't even want to leave Phoenix. And guess what? He's traded.
But Chris Paul's like, but it's different though. Chris Paul's on his third, fourth team, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Dame Lillard is a lifelong Portlandia. That's Mr. Portlandia right there. And so I guess we just expect everybody to be one of those guys when they get to year 6, 7, 8 and they haven't done anything. Like, Lillard has been a part of 5 1-and-dones, first round with Portland.
Yeah.
5 1-and-dones, that's a lot. And so we expect that guy with that profile to want to go somewhere else, but he doesn't want to. So what do we do with that? Kurt, you tell me. That's my last question for both of y'all. What do we do with it?
I got a feeling it's not Lillard who initiates this. If it happens, it's more Portland, let's say Scoop drops to them at 3. They can't draft anyone. By the way, I'm high on Scoop. I think he's going to be special. He drops them at 3 and they're like, all right, let's draft him. And then you sit down with Dame and just say, man, it's time. We kind of got to retool this thing. And if you don't want to be part of a retooling like this, be around for a little bit of a rebuild. We'll help get you somewhere that works for both of us, because he doesn't have the no trade. He doesn't get to go wherever he wants. But I think you could make it work out. I think that's probably how it goes down. I don't think Lillard ultimately, everybody's waiting for frustrated Lillard to, I don't know, some sort of passive aggressive LeBron move and force his way out of town. And he's liking tweets for them going and getting Zion Williamson because he wants it to happen there. But I still don't think he's just the guy who's going to, I'll tell you this much. He's not going to go Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, James Harden, force my way out of town, is he?
See, Kurt, don't do that, man. Don't do that. You just did that. I was going to say goodbye. We're saying goodbye. Put the music on, Jerry, please, because when you brought up Zion, then I started thinking about Mariah Mills.
Oh, God.
And her
please.
Tweets.
Enough.
Let's just get us out. Everybody's safe now. It's safe. We got but music. Put that music on. Like, listen, it's Juneteenth. We got by Juneteenth. We free.
We are not free from the shackles of Mariah Mills. And I am upset. I am upset. Okay? If we say her name three times, do you think she'll disappear?
No. No.
Kind of the opposite.
There's another. Something else coming. There's another tweet coming. I feel it. Something else is coming. So, Kurt, good to see you. Let's get out of here before we get in trouble.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
All right. It's always a pleasure to talk with the one and only Jim Trotter, especially when he's saying things that I agree with. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me, Jim Trotter. Talking about running backs, I know everybody has running back commentary. Oh, the position has been devalued. You can just get any running back in the draft. Why draft it? You stupid if you draft a running back in the first round. You can get him in the third round, fourth round, whatever. And then you pay him whatever you want to pay him and move on. And I just think that commentary is limited and doesn't really – and just kind of lacks imagination in a lot of ways. Jim, you know, tell me the impetus of the story of why you wrote what you wrote about running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, Michael, this is something that's been bothering me going back all the way to 2011 with the CBA when it was ratified and they put in that rookie wage scale. And at that time, what you realize is that all this talk about the running back position being devalued. Well, if you're a running back drafted in the first round, what it means is that in a league where the average career span is just over 3 years, teams are now able to tie you up to 8 years before you can actually get to the open market. And obviously that's just unfair. And for me, it's an issue from this standpoint. I always believe that the most impactful players should make the most money. I don't care about the sport, but it's just curious that the NFL is the only sport, major professional sport, that ties salaries to the position that you play. So Josh Jacobs, without question, was the Raiders' best football player on offense last year. You might make an argument overall, although Max Crosby was outstanding for them defensively. But offensively, he did everything. And yet, if you look at him now, when he should be a free agent, in terms of salary cap allocation, he is seventh on the Raiders. And that just ain't right in my book.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really felt that they made a mistake by declining his fifth-year option, because I think that he is extremely valuable to that team and what they do. And this is why I don't have a problem with Saquon Barkley declining to want to be involved in his franchise tag, because I believe it's, what, $10 million? And I think that he believes that he's worth more than that. And for that offense, he absolutely is worth more than that. He's the reason why that team went to the playoffs, because when he's healthy, you have to account for him in the run game, in the pass game, and everything else. And so for me, I do side with the running backs, because they do a lot of things. They don't just run the ball. They're also asked to pass protect. They're also asked to do some other things, like go into the flat potentially and catch passes. So the fact that they're being devalued the way that they are just really doesn't sit right with me. I don't know if Saquon is going to get what he's asking for, but I feel like he's in the best position to do so out of all the guys that are remaining in free agency or looking for a new contract, like J.K. Dobbins. But it's just crazy how this has all turned out.
Well, Rita, I'll say this to you, too. Let me go one step further. She is.
Go ahead.
Let me go one step further with Saquon. The bad or the tough part for Saquon, too, is he played outstandingly last year and then has to sit back and watch Daniel Jones, who still have questions about whether or not he's that dude or not, get broken off in a major way at the quarterback position. And yet Saquon, they only want to pay him, and I say only because it's relative here, $10 million on this one-year deal. So from that standpoint, if you are helping others get paid and yet you're not getting paid, that's a problem for me.
Okay, come on. Ooh.
See, okay, first of all, I love both of y'all. I love both of y'all so much. You know, listen, you're both heroes of mine, because this is a couple things. This is what I know about good people. Good people will take care of themselves. They will fight for justice for themselves. That's what good people do. But what great people do is fight for what's right, not just for them, but for others as well. And so when you look at those numbers, in the NFL, this should not just be running backs speaking up saying, what about us? We're disrespecting. I agree with that headline. It is from the paper route. It is the most disrespected position in the NFL. But other players should be saying, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that a linebacker's average salary for a franchise tag is twice as much as a running back's? That's not right. And Rita, and this is why I like what you had to say. A good running back, whether it's Jonathan Taylor or Josh Jacobs or Austin Eckler, they say, hey, carry the ball for us. They get a little snobby. They get a little attitude. If a running back, oh, he doesn't like running between the tackles. He just bounces inside. So you're supposed to take your behind inside against, 300 pounders. They don't like it. Oh, well, he's good, but he doesn't pass protect. Okay, so you take on a linebacker. You take on a defensive end who is paid to destroy your quarterback. But as a running back, they ask you to do that. Oh, well, he's only a two-down guy. We like to see him on the field. We like to see what kind of hands he has. So you got to catch the ball, too. He fumbles too much. Yeah, I get hit all the time. Ask running backs to do so much. Be tough. Don't run out of bounds. Go ahead, take that guy on.
But look,
I think
at
the league
chart
should
up
be
there,
up in
Michael.
Arms, Jim. The league should
look
be up in arms.
Look at the chart there. The only position group that running backs make more than under the franchise tag are punters and kickers. So when you talk about running back contracts, the highest average per year, I believe, is Christian McCaffrey, a deal that was done, 4 years ago? So they are not even keeping up with the rate of inflation, if you will, as it relates to other positions. So, again, for me, it's just not right. And I say it again, when you go to baseball, they don't, outfielders can make as much as pitchers and vice versa. You go to basketball, a guard salary isn't related to a forward salary or not. It's who are the most impactful players. And Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley were the most impactful players on their teams last year and deserve to get paid because of it, in my opinion.
And that chart, see that chart, Rita and Jim, the previous one, you can put that back up there, guys. The previous chart is the reason this conversation often gets derailed. Because if you are one of these analytics folks, I'm going to throw it to you. I'm just going to set you up because I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think people who are saying, oh, it doesn't make sense to invest heavy financial dollars in that running back position, they go to this chart and say, look, you can get the job done for less than $1 million. So why not?
Michael, number one on that chart is who? The Chiefs with Isaiah Pacheco. People tend to forget there's a quarterback there whose name is Patrick Mahomes. If you give me another team that has a Patrick Mahomes, I'll say go out and get any running back you want then, if that's the argument you want to have. But Patrick Mahomes is on another level from anybody else in this league. So I'm not buying that at all. I think it's a silly argument, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The other thing here for me is this. You have teams that build their offenses around the running back position. Not a lot, but you have some. I would argue Tennessee Titans have built their offense around Derrick Henry. You know, I know we look at the Chargers and we say it's built around the quarterback, Justin Herbert. But damn, if you look at the production is Austin Eckler.
Yep.
So can the Chargers get away with not paying Austin Eckler what he wants? Yeah. Because why? Everybody says that's the system. I love when teams say, well, we would love to give you more, but that's the system. And then what happens when a quarterback wants a fully guaranteed deal? Well, Lamar Jackson wants a fully guaranteed deal. Oh, we can't do that for you. That's not the system. We don't do it. So it's funny when they use it when it benefits them, but when it doesn't, it's like, oh, you know, can't do it. So go ahead, Rita.
I'd add to what you said in terms of that list that you showed us, and they had 2019 for the New England Patriots. But let's be real. They had Jared Goff as their quarterback. That offense was centered around Todd Gurley. And the reason why they don't win, they probably win or in a better position. And yes, I know that they also lost their wide receiver. I'm very well aware. But Todd Gurley really made that offense go. And as well as Coop. So my thing is that if he is there, if Todd Gurley is there, yes, Cup's loss would have been huge, but Todd Gurley is not going to allow the Rams to score the little bit of offense and a little bit of production that they scored in that Super Bowl. I'd argue that his value is why they potentially lost that Super Bowl, because they needed him there.
Can I say this too, Michael? This is why I go back to the 2011 CBA. And this is, out of everything that has gone on in that CBA, this is what bothers me most. And look, I know the players got some gains out of it. I'm not here to dump on the union or anything like that. I'm just talking about what bothers me most about it. And I said to D'Amore Smith at that time, I remember when we had these conversations about a rookie wage scale, right? And I said, okay, I understand the owners want that. But if you were going to do it, if you were going to give up that money on the front end, you got to get it back on the back end. And for me, what that meant is these players after 3 years have to become unrestricted free agents with no options and no franchise tags, because we always say scouts can determine 3 years into the league whether or not a guy is a player or not, right? So you've got 3 years to judge it. And if you don't believe he's that, let him hit the market and determine what his market value is. Not this franchise tag stuff and fifth year options. I have had agents tell me that they do not recruit running backs for the draft unless they are very sure he's going to be a top 10 pick or he's going to fall outside of the first round. Because they say if you go 11 to 32, you're never going to get the bang for your buck that you could get if you're a second round, third round, fourth, whatever, where you can renegotiate your contract after 3 years, as opposed to being locked in for four and then having a fifth year option and then having 3 years where they can use the franchise tag on you.
Stand up for the running backs. Stand up. That's right, Josh Jacobs. I love that tweet. It's not just about you. It's about the other ones coming next. And those coming before. I tell you, we'll be proud. Walter Payton will be proud. Rest in power. Franco Harris would be proud. Tony Dorsett is proud. Emmitt Smith, all these great running backs. Eric Dickerson, all these guys who toted it and got paid back in the day, but now we've gone the other way. We got to bring it back. You're right, Rita. Make that position great. Make it great again. All right. Jim Trotter, always good to see you, brother. Thank you.
All right, my people. Thank you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm going to be honest with you, Rita. I'm just glad it's not my life. So when I look at these Zion Williamson tweets and I see in your feed that it's time for a restraining order, who are you talking about?
It's time. Mariah Mills, time. If he doesn't want to call the cops, I will, because I am tired. I have muted this lady, blocked this lady, everything. And it's still coming across, and I'm tired.
I got to admit to you, I'm not tired yet. Not yet. I'm not.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.